Up to one in three children experience hearing voices, seeing things other people can't see, sometimes feeling they're being followed or spied upon. If an adult reported this, they'd think you were developing a psychosis. But with statistics like that, it's not so with kids, or is it? Because some children are really bothered by the experience. You might remember such things from your own childhood. I'm keeping shtum on mine, at least until after I've spoken to Kirsten Lawrence of the Schizophrenia Research Institute in Sydney. Welcome to the Health Report.
Hi, thanks very much for having me.
What was the purpose of your research?
Well, I guess we started out wondering how common these experiences are in children, because we know that amongst adults, probably about 5 to 8% of people who don't have a clinical illness, they don't have psychosis, actually in the general population report these experiences. And what we found is that in children, as you said, you know, up to a third or even more in some communities of children report these experiences. So we were really interested in trying to unpack, you know, some of the things that might be interacting or playing into these experiences for kids.
And this is more than just having an imaginary friend.
Yeah, so there will be kids that report, obviously, imaginary friends. But, yeah, the types of experiences that we're talking about are hearing voices that other people can't hear, and seeing things that other people can't see. But you know, a lot of children start out describing imaginary friends, but most kids will grow out of that. And what we're interested in doing is tracking these children longitudinally and seeing, you know, as they become adolescents, what might cause some children to actually have a persistence of these experiences so that they go on and they don't resolve, they become distressing and start to interfere day to day with these kids' lives. And eventually for a relatively few, you know, some of them may go on to develop a psychotic illness.
Now, I think you found that some kids live with this quite happy. They might tell their parents. Some kids don't tell their parents, still quite happy. And some kids are really quite distressed by these experiences.
That's right. And in fact, our research and research from others, including some research here in Australia, shows that most children won't tell their parents about these experiences.
Do we know why?
I don't think we do. I suppose for the distressing ones, some of the anecdotal reports that we've had from children are that they perceive that, you know, this is going to mean that they have a mental illness, that they shouldn't be experiencing these things, and that they're already starting to feel the stigma, potential stigma around being identified as having these experiences. So, you know, that's for some of the more extreme examples.
What age group are we talking about here? Because I imagine this to be, you know, 4-year-olds, 5-year-olds, but I think you've been looking at older children.
Yeah, that's right. We've actually done a lot of research in the population who are aged between 9 and 11 years, and these experiences are very common. In a London sample that we worked with where children were very coming from very deprived communities, these rates could get up as high as two-thirds of kids reporting an experience like this.
And is there any association in children with behavioural or emotional problems, such as anxiety disorder or depression or other things, does that complicate matters?
Yes, we think that those are some of the experiences that may be contributing to children going on to experience more problematic levels of these experiences. So, you know, feeling anxious or depressed, or having behavioural problems may be feeding into a general picture where children are not coping well, and the way that they process information may be biased in such a way that they then go on and reinforce these sorts of experiences where a healthy, happy child would not.
So do you know yet from your research whether a child being distressed by these delusions, if you like, it was probably too strong to call them delusions at this age, is a poor predictor of outcome? Or a predictor of poor outcome, I should say?
Distress associated with these experiences does predict a poorer outcome. But I have to say that the majority of people who have these experiences, and in fact the majority of people who even report distress associated with these experiences, do not go on to have, you know, severe mental illness like psychosis. Of course, there are many, there's a range of functioning between, you know, healthy and happy right up to the the severe psychotic illnesses, and many of these individuals will be, you know, functioning, you know, not so well in their daily life. But there are individuals who report these and report distress associated with them who nonetheless go on to lead healthy, happy adolescences and adulthoods.
So it's yet another thing for parents to worry about. Should they be digging for this information or just letting sleeping dogs lie unless the kid's distressed?
Look, I think, you know, woe betide me to recommend to parents how to run
we'll
their
lives. We'll hold you to it, Kristen.
Yeah. Look, I think always having an open dialogue with the child and creating an environment where the child feels comfortable to explain the experiences that he or she is having is really the ideal scenario.
But you don't want to jump in and medicalise it.
No, that's right. And in fact, a lot of our work is motivated by is the idea that if we can identify these things really early before they get to problem level, that we might be able to intervene with more benign sorts of treatments like talking therapies and resilience building and coping strategies and things like that that will help these kids transition to healthy adolescences and adulthoods and not require, you know, the more invasive treatments that come when you have a severe psychotic illness.
Kristen, thanks for joining us.
Thanks very much.
Kristen Lawrence is at the Schizophrenia Research Institute in Sydney.